3 o'clock raw. What do you,
John? What's the best remedy for a strawberry?
Bactine. Remember Bactine?
Oh, Bactine. Do they still make Bactine?
Spray a little of that on there. It stung like hell.
You know what I tend to do? I put CBDs on everything. That's the thing now. If no matter what.
Okay, then you know what the honest answer?
Yeah.
Cortisone 10.
Cortisone
10. Trust me, makes anything go away.
Does it? Okay, good. Yeah. Good. Last night I'm watching TV. We were talking about network TV a little bit earlier. You know they've got a TV version of Jenga now?
No, really?
Yeah. Thank now, God. It's not called Jenga, right? It's called something like...
Oh, I lost it.
The Last Straw.
Yeah.
And people remove things from a stack of... I mean, like, they're clearly... The networks are clearly completely out of ideas now that they're playing Jenga in primetime. All right, so, John, tonight, second half of the final season of Better Call Saul makes its debut. It was an unbelievable finish to the first half of the final season.
That ended on a total cliffhanger.
Yep.
And here's a tweet from Peter Gould, who we've had on the show.
Yeah,
he's
sure.
in charge of Better Call Saul, along with Vince Gilligan. Peter tweeted earlier today, "Tonight, Better Call Saul is back. This one's a heart stopper. Vince Gilligan directs, and the best cast on earth delivers," all caps. "My advice, watch it ASAP and avoid spoilers." So, which makes me think.
Yeah.
You think Kim's going to get it?
I don't know that Kim dies. I'm not sure that Kim goes.
She didn't show up in Breaking Bad.
Why couldn't she have been sent away in witness protection?
I think Kim's going to get it. I don't know if she'll get it tonight.
Yeah.
But I think she's going to get it.
A heart stopper.
And that's a great actress. Do you pronounce her name Ray?
Rhea Seehorn.
Rhea,
yeah.
Two syllables?
Yep.
Yeah, she's been
unbelievable. Patrick Fabian's been great. Michael
Have you ever
Mando
had Tony
great.
Dalton on
Tony
the Culture
Dalton's
Pop
been
podcast?
On the show, so
that
good.
Dude is, I mean, he's the guy that, by the way, I don't think this
great
is
great villain.
Too much fun. He's the one who does all the villainous stuff at the end of the cliffhanger.
Yes, correct.
So I'm anxious to see what he does at the start of tonight.
So I ask that because Yahoo, technically this is BuzzFeed. Yahoo picked it up. It has put out a list of the worst series finales of all time. And most of these we don't know. They went super deep. So like My Name is Earl, Killing Eve apparently had a bad one. Game of Thrones, we all know that one. Alf, did you realize that Alf was captured by the government and it was a cliffhanger to the next season? And there was no next season.
So that's how it ended.
Wound up under the control of the government, which is a terrible ending. Alf winds
up. Is this the theme song from Alf?
How did you get that so fast? Nicely done.
That is.
Come on. Loving the Alf.
So, great show.
So I'm the producer of the year, guys. Come on.
Exactly. So I'm rooting for Better Call Saul to be a great finale.
Well, if Breaking Bad's any indication, the penultimate episode, Ozymandias, was maybe the best episode of TV ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the finale was really good.
Oh, the finale was great.
So hopefully, do you know how many constitute
six,
the...
I believe.
And at some point in these six episodes, Bryan Cranston shows up as Walter White. We don't know what the context is.
Nope.
We don't know how he shows up.
Yep.
We don't know if Aaron Paul is Jesse Pinkman is showing up.
Yeah, he is.
He is showing up.
He is for sure. Jesse Pinkman and Walter White will both be in this.
But I can't wait. And Bob Odenkirk has been spectacular throughout this whole run.
I hope he wins some kind of award for this because this has been just an unbelievable performance and transformation for him over the course of six seasons. He has been great. And nobody really thought, nobody when they saw Bob Odenkirk's name thought, oh yeah, that's a lead actor. No, he's a legit lead. Did you know they've already done a spinoff of Better Call Saul?
Which character is being spun?
Jimmy. It is an animated series called Slippin' Jimmy.
Okay.
That's going to be coming out. So kind of his used car salesman kind of defense attorney act.
Breaking Bad, another show we were talking earlier about networks passing on stuff. AMC was one of the only networks that was going to even try Breaking Bad. And I read an interview with Vince Gilligan once that The reason the first season of Breaking Bad is so eventful is they thought they'd never get a second.
Right.
They just put all the stuff into the first one, and it just took off.
Yeah.
And then they just built it like a ladder, and it just kept going.
By the way, I think you can watch all of the seasons of Better Call Saul on Netflix. I don't think
it's worth it if you've never seen it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. And we'll have a no spoiler rule here for a while.
Of the ones that are coming up?
Yeah, the ones that are coming up.
Sure.
We're not going to.
Yeah, because a lot of people binge watch that stuff.
And a lot of you guys are like catching up and stuff. So, you know, Ireland, I've got, and this is maybe, this is part of my Midwestern upbringing. I don't like to, I've done really well in the world. I've done, you know, I've happily, you know, done, made enough money and all that stuff. But I'm never really comfortable with flexing any sort of wealth that I've got.
Okay.
Tom Brady is very different. So he took his family to see Minions, The Rise of Gru.
Okay.
Brady, Gisele Bündchen, their family, traveled to Italy at the end of June, have been enjoying a rather lavish vacation over the past few weeks. Brady and his wife were seen sharing some ice cream or gelato. They spent some time on the beach. He made sure to work off some extra calories with his in luxury yacht gym.
The gym is on the yacht.
Correct.
Okay.
It's a yacht gym. $6 million.
I would just like a yacht or a gym. A yacht gym would be like way beyond my means. So but they, I would like either one of those things.
They've been going to places like Portofino and Amalfi Coast, and all of it looks really great on social media. Well, Brady and his family didn't want to miss out on Minions Rise of Gru. They took a there, and there's all sorts of TikTok video of this, taking this gigantic private jet with the family to the closest place there was a movie theater to be able to see Minions Rise of Gru. Now, to me, that's a really rich guy flex right there. Leaves his $6 million yacht and his yacht gym to get on a private plane and take his family to see a movie.
I'm surprised he just didn't get a copy of the movie.
Yeah, you would think that a $6 million doesn't get you a screening room on your jet.
Right.
But yeah, so took the family. Now, I'm shy about stuff like that. I don't want to be seen as having a bunch of money.
Well, I think it depends what it is with you. Like
true, like so my Ram seats, yeah, willing to spend.
That's a flex.
Yeah, that's a flex for sure.
But you don't spend a lot of money on clothes. You don't spend a lot of money on cars. You you know, some of the other things that people spend money on, you don't.
Don't you have a broadcasting scholarship?
I've got a scholarship through the National Lesbian Gay Journalists Association.
But that's a flex of kindness.
No, that's just.
But it still costs money.
It costs money.
Right, but that's a good flex. That's not something that you would look at and go.
That's not like, hey, look at me. I'm driving a
I'm just trying to make up
Maserati.
For last week.
You're trying to what?
Make up for last week. That's all.
What? In what way?
You got a long way to go.
You had such flattering a crowd last week.
The I wonder. I'm looking at a feed of Summer League, and one of the look at that picture up there. One of the guys sitting in the middle of this game is Mike D'Antoni.
Huh?
Is he still working in the league?
Well, you know, when I was at Summer League years ago, Mike D'Antoni did like this big seminar. Remember, who else do we know did a big seminar? Was it Tom Penn did a big seminar?
Yeah, probably.
Tom Penn and Mike D'Antoni did like a big seminar. Maybe Mike is still, is he an assistant coach somewhere?
He was, but he left and he was a serious candidate for the Charlotte job, but he didn't get it. He must be working for somebody, unless he's just there working for fun.
Yeah. You know, we haven't gotten to this, but I want to. Rob Manfred, my least favorite professional sports commissioner.
Gary Bettman's worse, but yeah. Go ahead.
He has announced in an interview that baseball is going to be doing some pretty interesting stuff over the next couple of years. One thing is that by 2024.
That's soon. That's in 2 years.
There will be a hard pitch count.
Okay.
And there will be a robot.
You mean
umpire.
Clock, not count?
Oh, pitch clock. I'm sorry. Yeah, pitch clock. And a robot umpire.
Yeah, we did a lot on this the day you were out last week. I am so in favor of a robot umpire, it'd be impossible to not. I mean, people arguing, well, it takes out the human element. Yeah. how many times in a game, and I've been watching a lot of baseball lately because all the other sports have kind of stopped, how many times in a game on a critical pitch is the pitch nowhere near a strike and the umpire rings somebody up?
Oh, yeah.
That's, get your mic back on.
Yeah, it happens all the time. Well, I mean, it's even worse. Look at Angel Hernandez and how many times he butchered another call.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, Angel Hernandez is like the worst umpire
I have heard
ever to walk on the planet.
We took calls on this and people were saying, no, you don't want to get rid of the umpire.
Oh,
and,
come on.
And umpires were calling and saying, no other sport is talking about doing this. Why are you trying to put umpires out of work? Because there's Questech in every stadium in the country, and we know what's a ball and what's a strike, and then the umpire changes his mind on a whim.
Yeah, and by the way, it doesn't eliminate the umpire. The umpire has to convey the call to everybody.
Right.
He still gets he doesn't technically call the strike, but he calls out the strike calls out the ball.
And in terms of the pitch clock, Clayton Kershaw was on with Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser yesterday for that
I didn't see him.
Marathon Dodger game, and they were congratulating him for making the All-Star team, and they asked him of what he thinks about the pitch clock. He said that he was talking to Mitch White, and Mitch White has been in the minors this year and has used the pitch clock.
Uh-huh.
And White said, when there's no runners on base, it's fine. It's not even a hindrance. He said it's when you get runners on base that it becomes a problem.
Sure.
Because you don't want to give them an unnecessarily big lead. You want to be able to throw over to first base.
And well, you're allowed – actually, I hadn't thought of that. So if there's a pitch clock, does it reset every time you throw over to first base?
I don't know the answer to that, but Kershaw seemed to think that you had to throw the pitch clock out once a runner gets on base. That was Kershaw's opinion.
Right, because you should be allowed to hold a runner on.
Right. So that's where the issue is.
That wouldn't make sense to continue the pitch clock when you throw over to first. You're basically saying you're not allowed to throw to first then.
Correct. I think it resets every time.
Yeah, it should reset. There's no way you can do it without resetting.
I never understand. Everybody boos when somebody throws to first. It's like it's part of the game. People just boo.
If your runner is on first because they want the runner to go.
Yes.
So it's like, come on, let him have a lead. What's wrong with you?
Exactly.
But I think a pitch clock would be good. I know you and Greg are more baseball traditionalists than I am, but one thing baseball has worked hard at is getting the game time down. So is the NFL. Soccer is the dream. Soccer you can play in a two-hour window.
Right.
Now, it's not realistic that you can play baseball or basketball in baseball or football in a two-hour window, but hockey's down to 2.5. NBA's down to 2.5. If the NFL and baseball could get to 2.5, in the 1970s, an average length of a baseball game was 2:10. Right now, it's 3:10. So you want to, if you can get that thing closer to 2:30, I think that makes it a more marketable, easy-to-watch sport, particularly when we're raising a generation of fans who have no attention span. You know, that's part of the issue. And the pitch clock would help with that.
Yeah, pitch clock would make a difference.
I
don't think it would. By the way, I don't think it's all of a sudden a 2.5-hour game. It's still...
Could be.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a 2.5-hour
game. Well, again, in the 70s, it was 2:20.
Right.
And then the reason for that was fewer pitching changes. You left guys in longer.
Sure.
They've done stuff for that. Now they have the
three-batter rule,
which helps a little. They've been chipping away. This is why they hired Theo Epstein a few years ago. They've been chipping away. And the way Theo explained it was, if you can save 3 or 4 minutes here and 3 or 4 minutes there, and you can make 10 significant changes, there's a half an hour.
What have they done except change the baseball? They technically haven't done anything, have they?
Yeah, three-batter rule. Is new.
Three-batter rule, right.
The fact that there's now a DH in both leagues.
True.
So that necessitates fewer pitching changes.
Yeah.
If they enforce the pitch clock and they get the robot ump, there'll be fewer arguing balls and strikes because it's definitive. I think it all speeds up the game, which is good.
You know what's interesting is if you look at the Dodgers roster, the one thing that comes through is the Dodgers have always benefited from great depth. Great depth doesn't matter like it used to. You carry 9 position players and 2 additional bats for the most part. Do they have 2 additional bats or 3 additional bats? I think it's just
Hanser Alberto.
I think it's just Hanser Alberto, Trace Thompson, Jake Lamb. So maybe three.
When the depth matters is when you get injuries, and during the course of the season, you're going to get one.
Exactly.
But that's why when I proposed that crazy trade last week, where the Dodgers would basically give up their depth to go get Ohtani.
Yeah.
And not the Angels are trading him.
You were giving up pitching depth.
But the funny thing was,
and we have none.
My mentions were jammed with Angel fans that wouldn't do it. Now, I understand why either I
can make a case either way for both sides.
Right.
If I was an Angels fan, I wouldn't trade Ohtani. If I was the Dodgers, I wouldn't give up
all of
my pitching depth for Ohtani.
Yeah. And who knows how much longer Ohtani's going to be able to do this. I just would love to see Ohtani play for a team that matters, that's going to the playoffs, so we can see him in October. I feel the same way about Trout. I just don't think the Angels are going to trade either one of them.
Well, and the Angels, I think they've got the fourth worst record in baseball right now.
And Perry Manassian, is that how you describe
it? Perry Manassian.
Came out over the weekend and said, this is all on me. Well, I mean, you're like the fifth GM who said that.
Yeah.
So either fix it or get out.
Yeah, now he's in his second year, right? Yeah.
But, I mean, this is the same song and dance.
It is the same song and dance.
Jerry DePoto and Tony Regans and,
Tony Regans, you're going back now. Yeah.
It's, I mean.
Sounds like an owner problem.
Sure does sound like an owner problem. Hard to get rid of the owner.
Yeah, almost impossible.
Yeah. All right, coming up next for you, it's the, I wanted to get to this. This is John Morant talking about playing in Michael Jordan's generation. Have you heard this?
I'll pretend I haven't.
Excellent. We will do that coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, don't forget this Friday night, we are kicking off All-Star Weekend with our All-Star Friday Night at the West Covina Sportsplex. You'll be able to watch the Wiffle Ball Bash, which includes some listeners and all of us, plus a 710 All-Star game featuring everybody here at 710, all of our shows broadcasting live starting at 10 in the morning. Everybody in attendance has got a chance to win tickets to the Midsummer Classic. Special thanks to our partners on this event, your Southern California Hyundai dealers. It's your journey. Own it with Hyundai. John, I brought in this glove that my dad had made.
Mm-hmm.
Has his name on it, Steve Michon.
Which is your name. That's good.
Had this made and was very disappointed to find out after it was made that he's left-handed and this is a right-handed glove.
Well, so you can use it, right?
I can use it. No, I'm excited for Friday. I'm not going to do any I intend to do no damage.
Yeah, that's
to myself or to anyone else.
You will be hurt in some way, shape, or form.
No way.
I don't know how it will manifest itself.
I already got this strawberry. It's bad.
It's
bad.
You will be hurt.
Yeah.
And who's pitching for them?
I don't think we've gotten a starting lineup from them.
Okay.
We are adding Brady Cates to bat for Momo.
Okay,
and Momo thinks she can pitch.
Bergman, you're on Cap's team,
right? I'm on Cap's team.
Who's pitching for your team?
I don't know the answer to that. It's up to Cappy.
Okay.
You can ask him in crosstalk.
All right.
Yeah, we'll find out. All right, so Ja Morant, who's one of the really great, talented, superstar NBA players right now, did an interview over the weekend, and listen to what he says about playing in Michael Jordan's generation.
I wish I played in his generation, though.
Yeah. You wish he would have played in his generation?
Yeah.
Why?
I heard he was like just how he, you know, go about the game, you know, just that mindset he had.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to, you know, play against him, so.
Yeah. You know, this time you're not saying, I would have cooked him.
I would have cooked him, too.
You would have cooked Michael Jordan?
Man, nobody got more confidence than 12.
No, that's what you're supposed to say. I get it.
As you should. I'm never gonna go and say nobody gonna beat me in one-on-one or anything.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is, what sport it is, soccer. Who the best player in soccer? from what we can play.
Who would y'all say best player? What, Ronaldo? Neymar? Messi?
Messi, yeah.
You coming for Messi?
Okay, so there. So how would Ja Morant's game, again, this is, we're going to play a hypothetical world. Ja Morant is in Michael Jordan's era. How does his game translate?
Well, keep in mind that Jordan could hand check.
Right.
He could not hand check now.
Yep.
So he'd be, it'd be very hard for him to contain Ja. But let me preface this with a couple of things. Number one, I love Ja Morant.
He's fantastic.
Matter of fact, Ja Morant provided me with the single greatest highlight from last season. I had Jorge pull it up. Listen to this.
12-9 after the three-point play by LeBron. LeBron's got seven in the game, and the Grizzlies' lead is three with exactly 7 minutes remaining in the first quarter. Here is Ja Morant, stolen by Avery Bradley. Bradley on a breakaway, gets to the rim. Ja Morant leaped to the top of the glass and took it away with two hands. I've never seen a block like that. Morant coming the other way, can't finish. Rebound loose, knocked out of bounds. They're going to give it to Memphis. Michael, timeout on the floor. How would you describe that block by Morant?
Unhuman.
I mean,
I've never seen that.
Above the square. Yeah, I bet you guys see this at home. Timeout.
Yeah, you'll see it on the highlights. And he sort of controlled it. He didn't like block it. He grabbed it like you go up for a rebound.
Like Bill Russell. Grizzlies 12, Lakers 9.
Block of the year.
6:42 remaining in the first half. This crowd's still buzzing over that Ja Morant block on the ESPN LA Lakers radio network.
All right, so he does stuff like this, seemingly Mace, once a game.
Yeah.
He is, if you haven't seen him play in person, if somebody offers you Laker tickets next year, seriously consider.
For the Memphis game.
Yeah, saying the team you want to see is Memphis. He's that good. Having said all of that, bad look to compare yourself to Jordan. Just a bad look.
It's weird.
I love his confidence.
Yeah.
I love Ja. I think he's an unbelievable player. I'm not coming on here saying that I can go toe-to-toe with Howard Stern.
Right.
It's a bad look.
Right.
Jordan's the name you don't want to invoke. He's just...
It's interesting.
And again, this is coming from somebody who loves Ja Morant.
Right.
Loves him. Can't compare yourself to Jordan. And you can't say that you would cook him. Jordan.
He'd cook Jordan.
I mean, come on.
But don't you think that irrational confidence is part of what makes anybody great at anything?
I think irrational confidence is why I married my wife.
Yeah.
She thinks she can do anything.
It's
like incredibly attractive.
Yeah.
But Jordan's the guy I just don't compare myself to.
Right.
By the way, you ever hear an announcer say, I'm going to be the next Vin Scully?
No.
I'm going to be the next Chick Hearn? You just don't.
Right.
You don't want to, goes back to what you and I always say. Under promise and over deliver.
Under promise.
The minute you say I would have cooked Michael Jordan, you have just over promised to the highest possible degree.
Yep.
And so if I had Ja's ear, I would say, and he did a really cool thing. I don't know if you saw this last week. He gave a $500 tip to a waitress in a diner.
Oh, that's nice.
And the waitress walked over and goes, she didn't know how to thank him. Greg, see if you can find this. There's audio of this. So Ja Morant goes to this diner, and this waitress is there, and he orders like, a burger and fries or something, and the tab is like $20, and he tips her $500. And she comes over and goes, man, you like one of those players or something? And he goes, yeah. She goes, who do you play for? He goes, I play for the Grizzlies, Memphis. And she goes, oh, you play with that boy, Ja Morant? He goes, no, I am Ja Morant. And she starts screaming.
Wow.
Hysterically. Like this guy gets it. He's a great teammate.
Yeah.
Gets it on the air and off. But if I had his ear, stop the comps to MJ. You can't win.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he's out there saying stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and if you ever get a chance to watch him play, especially in person, take it.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. And that particular play that you played was when he went up and took the block with both hands.
Right? I mean, and above the – so picture the rim with the square above the rim. He went to the top of the square.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so Ireland, I have a feeling you probably know what this is, but describe what I'm looking at here. There's a new show or a returning show on HBO Max called F-Boy Island. Did you look at F-Boy Island at all?
No.
Okay. So this
sounds like something I would appreciate.
It certainly does. Get excited for a new season of F-Boy Island, the dating competition unlike any other, hosted by Nikki Glaser.
Love her.
Very funny. The series follows three women searching for love and a shot at $100,000, but first they'll have to figure out who's a nice guy and who's a self-proclaimed F-boy.
Let me help the three women out.
Yeah.
They're all self-proclaimed F-boys. There are no nice guys,
on
a reality show called F-Boy Island.
Yeah.
Trust me, I've watched them all.
Have you watched
Are they really looking for love, though? I mean, is this a real...
Yeah,
they're
no.
Looking
no,
you know what they're
love.
Looking for? A three-picture deal.
Yeah, no, you go, if you're looking for love, you go to F-Boy Island.
Perfect.
You go.
Oh, sure.
Meaningful relationships begin there. Have any meaningful relationships ever developed on a reality show?
Well,
Is there evidence?
The success rate on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette is under 10%. Like, they've had 43 of them, I think.
Yeah.
And like four of the couples are still together. It's ridiculous. So I do not believe that anyone will find love on F-Boy Island. But if it has Nikki Glaser and it's named F-Boy Island, it sounds like it's for me.
It does sound like it's your kind of show.
Is it up now? Are there new episodes up now?
It's up as of today. Brand new episodes.
I know what I'm doing after Better Call Saul tonight. Little F-Boy Island.
We're going to need a full report tomorrow.
I will be happy to provide that. Hey, by the way, this is a little surprising to me. Response from Michael Thompson just texted me based on talking about Ja Morant, how I said it's a bad look for him to say he can cook Michael Jordan. Here's what Michael Thompson says. Ja could cook anybody. He's the most athletic guard ever. Jordan couldn't guard him. Ja's too quick. People thought Ali was crazy too.
Huh.
Remember Muhammad Ali kept saying,
sure,
I was the greatest one there. So maybe, you know, there's Michael, whose son is an NBA All-Star. And
thanks, maybe.
Who thinks John Morant may have it. Hey, do you know what opened, something very tied to Los Angeles, something you and I love, opened 100 years ago today on July 11th, 1922.
There are actually two things that are 100 years old in Los Angeles. I think it's going to be the Hollywood Bowl.
It is the Hollywood Bowl,
yeah,
which I consider to be the quintessential L.A. experience, particularly if you get good weather on a good night, and they've done a great job of keeping it up. And I try to go to the Bowl once a year. I was going to go this week, but my wife's taken away for my birthday. A very yacht rock band is playing at Hollywood Bowl this week. Kenny Loggins and Jim Messina. Loggins and Messina are teaming up this week for a couple of shows at the Hollywood Bowl.
Boy, that is old folk stuff there.
It's yacht rock. God bless it.
What's the age? What's the demo for yacht rock?
Morales in Ireland.
Yeah, Morales in Ireland.
It's pretty much it. I was listening when I was playing golf yesterday. I had a yacht rock playlist on. I would think there are some of these songs maybe a little before your time. Tell me if you played these when you were spinning records.
Okay, got it.
What a Fool Believes, Doobie Brothers.
That's way pre-me.
Okay.
What a Fool.
Baby Come Back, Player.
Pre-me. All these songs are going to be pre-me. I was not a DJ until 1987.
Yeah, so probably Sailing, Christopher Cross. That's before you. Africa, Toto.
Yeah, that's old.
I Can't Go for That, Hall & Oates.
What's the defining quality of yacht rock? What is it, literally for people on yachts?
Yes.
Or
it's if you owned a yacht.
Or believe you should own a yacht.
Yes. What music would be playing on the yacht? This is Baby Come Back by Player. Lido Shuffle Boz Skaggs. That's before your time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of Michael McDonald, a lot of Ambrosia. New Kid in Town, Eagles.
Yeah, New Kid in Town. I actually owned that album. That was on the long run, wasn't it?
This sounds like something you may have spun. Rosanna by Toto.
Rosanna. No.
Yeah, some of these are probably before your time. Dance With Me, Orleans. I don't remember that song.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Yeah, and some of this stuff is... Margaritaville, Jimmy Buffett, that was before your time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, okay. I know the music. It's just it wouldn't be from my DJ days. So Consumer Reports has put out a list, John, of the best of. Okay, so they surveyed all kinds of customers and people online and people in person,
you
all
know,
this kind of stuff.
People.
So they have named the best supermarket, according to Consumer Reports. Any idea what the best supermarket is?
Well, I always think of supermarkets as regional. Like, for example, do they have Ralph's in Ohio?
No, but Ralph's is also not the right answer.
But is there a supermarket that exists in all 50 states?
Whole Foods?
Whole Foods, probably, right?
Yeah.
But I think Whole Foods is a ripoff.
It is a ripoff.
Who is it?
Trader Joe's.
Oh, it's the best.
I love
the best.
Trader Joe's.
Isn't
Trader
it kind
Joe's
of pricey?
Is no,
no,
Trader Joe's
the opposite.
Is cheap. Cheap, man. And people are so happy at Trader Joe's. The employees are so happy. They ring the bell. I don't even know why they're ringing the bell. It's just from time to time they ring the bell. Anybody know why they ring the bell?
There's three bells.
I don't know.
It's one bell is like to bring someone over. Two bells mean something else. Like
they're just constantly ringing bells and stuff. Yeah, it's great.
What?
I've never been there.
Have you never been to a Trader Joe's?
You've never been to a Trader Joe's? Oh, my God. The food is so good.
Yeah. Nah. Go there instead.
It's so cheap.
Yeah.
So cheap. All right. Best fast food restaurant, John. All the fast food restaurants.
In-N-Out.
Which one does Consumer Reports rank as number one?
In-N-Out is regional. Yeah. They don't have In-N-Outs in Texas. It's probably McDonald's.
It is not. It's one of your favorite restaurants.
Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A.
No, that's a bad call.
I went to Chick-fil-A today.
It's no Popeyes, I'll tell you that.
Overrated.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A is very, very overrated.
It's not very good either.
It's good, but my one issue with Chick-fil-A is you can't go there on Sundays.
Correct. You can't go there because they're
on Sundays.
Yeah, that's that.
The owner's uber religious.
Okay, let's go computer.
Apple.
Yeah, Apple going away. Apple for computer. How about other than Amazon, best online retailer? I've actually bought stuff here.
Target?
Nope.
Walmart?
Nope.
eBay?
Nope. There are commercials for it
all
the time.
There it is. 0 for 3.
0 for 3.
Overstock?
No. Huh. Etsy.
Etsy. Oh, man.
Never been there.
Etsy?
I bought.
It's a good place to find gifts. Let me tell you something.
I'm going to Idaho next month, and I realized I didn't have enough bathing suits, so I went to buy bathing suits, and I ended up buying from a site that I've never heard of before.
Ross Dress for Less?
Belk. B-E-L-K. Have you ever heard of that?
No. Why wouldn't you just get from Amazon?
They didn't have the one I wanted. I just saw somebody. I saw somebody in a bathing suit I liked recently, and I said that's the one I want.
I pretty much, with the exception of Etsy, where you can find like these great personalized little gifts that impress, you know, family.
Wait, did
stuff.
You ask that person what brand was it?
No, I noticed looking at them.
Yeah, Banks. Yeah. Was it Banks?
No, it was Nautica.
Nautica
was the brand.
Where did I hear the word Banks?
And by the way, when I went to the Nautica site, $44. When I went to Belk, $20.
Wow,
Belk. That's what it is, Belk. Yeah,
right, coming up is Game of Games. It's Jorge's game.
Why is it Jorge's game? Did you miss?
He was supposed to do Friday.
We didn't come on Monday, remember?
But But last week we were off for 4th of July, so I did Monday. I did Tuesday. You did Wednesday, or Michael did Wednesday. You did Thursday. Greg did Friday.
Okay, got it.
So it's just Jorge turning the wheel.
Jorge's game.
And then I'll do it tomorrow, and you have it Wednesday.
Wednesday. Okay, good. We'll do Game of Games coming up next.
Oh, Michael might come in Wednesday and get you off the hook.
Who from the afternoon show is coming in, Bergman?
Love Boo.
All right,
Love.
Cappy's going to be here. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yes, it is Game of Games time, and we welcome to the show, Cappy!
What's up, Cap?
Love-o.
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 How was the weekend, Cap?
Hey, guys. Really good weekend, as a matter of fact. You guys? Everybody good?
It was fantastic. It was one of the best weekends on record. What did you do, Cappy?
Practiced all weekend long, Mace.
Did you really?
So did Mason, and he's got a big strawberry on his knee.
I've got a strawberry in my knee.
Cap, do you know who's pitching for your team yet?
You're looking at him. You're talking to the guy.
Oh, boy.
All right. So what I think is, if you want to throw Mason off his game, he's already a little rattled by this strawberry. First pitch, got to come high and tight, Cap, if you know what I mean.
I'm rattled by this strawberry, Cappy. What happened, Mason?
You just give a little chin music, Cap, and I think you basically take him out of the game.
You know, I grabbed a ground ball, and I sort of came down on one knee, then rolled a little bit, then threw to the relay guy. That's what happened. That's how I got my strawberry.
Mm-hmm. And who was the relay guy?
Singer. David Singer. Do you know him?
Yeah. I do, of course.
So how have you practiced? You said you were practicing.
Well, I went out for a big run on Sunday. It was yesterday. I'm trying to get myself into better physical condition, you know?
Yep. Sure.
Big hike on Saturday.
Yep.
A lot of elevation gain.
But not hitting the ball.
No, I've chosen not to hit because it's kind of like golf. I've only got a certain number of swings in me, so I want to wait until the actual game. I don't want to waste them on the driving range.
Right, right. The one thing I notice is I am a dead pull hitter. I am a I pull everything. So
are you a right-handed hitter or a left-handed?
I'm a right-handed hitter. You can easily put everybody on the left side of the diamond to operate the shift on me because I'm hitting to the left side of the infield.
John Ireland, do you buy this, or is this like something that he puts out there for everybody? We pull the shift, and then he goes the opposite direction.
Cap, and I say this with all due respect, Mason is the worst athlete I've ever seen. No matter what you do, he will find a way to injure himself. I just hope there are proper medical technicians.
I actually just
on
hope
hand.
There are cameras. That's all I hope is that
really?
There are cameras. If
oh,
I
there
do,
will be.
Yeah,
there,
Jorge,
there would never
yeah,
there
be,
a camera at a event
oh, at
like
one
this.
Of our events?
No,
no never. No.
And there won't be one directed perfectly onto you.
Yeah, that'll be Friday. Today, Jorge has the game. Jorge, what do you got for us?
Okay,
today?
So I didn't do nothing over the weekend but watch TV. So it got me thinking. I got 14 plot summaries of different TV shows. Let's see if you can guess what.
Okay,
TV
your name is your buzzer?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so it's Bergman, Mason, Cap. And me. Here we go. Four of us.
Okay, number one, a struggling high school chemistry teacher.
Mason.
Ooh. Mason.
That is Breaking Bad.
Oh, Breaking Bad it is.
Very good, Mace. Quick on the draw.
Here's number two. American college football coach.
Ireland.
Ireland.
Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso it is.
Ah. Wow.
Number three, nine noble families fight for control over the lands of Westeros.
Mason. Greg.
I think it was Greg.
Greg.
Oh. Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones it is. Number four, the trials and tribulations of this criminal lawyer.
Greg.
Ireland.
Greg.
Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Jeez, this is unbelievable. Yeah. Wow.
What, number five?
Yeah.
Yep.
New Jersey mob boss.
Mace Greg.
John.
Sopranos.
Sopranos.
That all right, was so all me.
Right now, please. Bergman 2.
Out. Smile over Mason
two,
in these games.
Mason
minus
one.
Hey, minus one for Mace for complaining.
Yeah, I think you did. Yep, you lose a point. Yeah, you won.
Make it minus 100.
There it is.
Hey!
Wow.
Minus 100.
I'm live. He's minus 100. Cap, you just moved up to third.
Yeah, I'm live in this game now.
Yeah,
I'm live.
You're alive.
Jorge number six.
Here we go.
Oh, it's funny when it's not me.
That was awesome.
All right. A journalist investigates the case of this Instagram legendary Harris who stole the hearts
Greg.
Of... Greg.
Inventing Anna?
Yes!
Oh,
Bergman takes the lead.
Never would have gotten that.
Okay.
In the 1980s, Indiana, a group of young friends...
Mason. Stranger Things.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Mason is minus
99. Here I come. Just need enough questions.
Okay, Chicago marketing executive, blank, is hired to provide an American perspective at a marketing firm in Paris.
Ireland.
Ireland.
What is Emily in Paris?
Yes, it is.
Wow. Okay.
Never would have gotten that.
All right, nope. Three for Ireland, three for Bergman. None for Cap, and minus 99 for Mason.
Okay, but here I come.
I like where I'm at. I like where I'm at.
Yeah.
Here we go. A dramatic look at a glitz and glamour of this NBA team.
Mason.
Mason.
That is
three.
Cap.
Greg. Greg. Greg.
Cap. No, it's not called showtime.
I was next.
Greg, go ahead.
Winning
Greg.
Time.
It's winning time.
No,
winning
I
time.
Think Cap was after
okay, Cap.
Mace. We'll give Cap a point.
For I'm on. I got to get on the board, Bergie.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, let him on
right,
the board.
Greg, three. Ireland, three. Cap, one. Mason, minus 99.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go. Selling real estate in Los Angeles.
Drake,
Mason.
That is Selling Sunset.
Yes, it is.
Okay, minus 98.
All right, here we go. After discovering her husband's betrayal of 20 years.
Mason.
Mason.
That is The Good Wife.
Nope.
Oh.
After discovering her husband's betrayal of 20 years, billionaire Molly Novak spirals into
Greg. Loot?
Loot.
I have. I saw the first episode, and I stopped watching after
Bergman takes the lead. He's got four.
I got two more.
Okay.
The Baltimore drug scene.
Mason.
Mason.
The Wire.
The Wire.
All right, minus 97.
All right, here's the last one.
Okay.
An exploration of big cat breeding.
Mason. Cap.
Mason.
Tiger King.
Tiger King.
I got that one.
No,
I got
wins.
That.
What's
that
amazing
I get the win.
Had I not docked myself 100 points,
you would have won.
You'd have been you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You would have won.
Even if you went down to zero, you probably still would have won.
Still probably would have won. Ah, well. Yeah. What are you going to do? Game of games.
Yeah, good game, Jorge.
Who won it? Bergman?
Bergman won. Bergman, that gives you three.
That gives me three for the month.
All right.
So
Bergman is the Atlanta Falcons of Game of Games. He'll blow it like he always does.
You guys are talking about Better Call Saul. Is that right?
Like, yeah,
tonight is the premiere
of the second half of season 6.
So you guys, last week I mentioned to you that AMC was airing like this Breaking Bad multi-marathon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it was an ultra marathon. It wasn't like 26 miles, like 105 miles. All weekend long, Breaking Bad was on. And every time I passed by it, which was rare, I wasn't in front of a TV this much this weekend, but every time I passed by, I was like, I got to stop for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And I stopped for just a couple of minutes, and I couldn't exactly figure out where I was in the series because it had been a couple of years since I've seen the whole thing. So you guys say that Better Call Saul, are you saying it's better than Breaking Bad?
No. I would argue that it's very similar to Breaking Bad. I'm curious what you think. Better Call Saul is a slower burn than Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad starts with a bang and then just builds, Cap, until you get to season 4 and 5 and it's just you can't wait to see what's going to happen next. Better Call Saul is like a long play. You know something's coming, but you can't figure out what it is.
So I turned on this episode yesterday, and what happened was Walter White is trying to get a hold of Saul. Can't get a hold of him, right? And Jesse is, he's been picked up by these cops, and these guys are trying to, you know, they're trying to get into him, but he's like, I want to call my lawyer. Nobody can get a hold of Saul. Mm. So Walter White takes some out of it, was a rock or whatever, and throws it through the front door of Saul's law firm because his assistant is inside, but she refuses to take Walter White's phone call.
Hmm.
Does anybody remember this? Because I'm telling you, I watched about 3 or 4 minutes, and that's all I really got. I'm trying to remember where we were in the series when this happened.
Yeah,
anybody?
I'd have to see more.
What am I, like,
really terrible
Breaking Bad Atlas?
Horrible life description. I mean, like,
what a dumb
30-second description
show,
that is.
Seriously.
So
I mean, it was a 7-year show, and you ask one specific moment and expect us to know it.
Right. I mean,
crazy.
Come on, guys. Come on. I mean, it's all about Saul, though.
You're not in on Better Call Saul.
Haven't been, because I love Breaking Bad, and John, you just described Better Call Saul as like a long play.
Right.
I became impatient in the first episode. I became impatient, and I never got back to it.
Great. By the way, the question always with Breaking Bad was, where did he break bad? John, where do you think Walter White broke bad?
All right,
Brian has told me where he thinks.
There is a scene where Kristen Ritter, who plays Jane, Jesse Pinkman's girlfriend, so it's Jesse Jane, ironically, and Walter White is in the house, and she is choking, and she's dying, and he could very easily save her.
Right.
All he has to do is wake her up.
Yep.
And he doesn't. He just sits there and watches her die, and I thought that's when he was the point of
completely
no return.
Completely agree, and that's what Brian would say, too. Now, it's a much tougher question when Saul broke bad.
Like, when he was slipping Jimmy in the beginning,
he
like he was selling cell phones?
He got evil over a period. He went from lovable bad guy to pretty tough-ass customer.
Right.
And that's where he is right now. It's totally worth watching. It's all on Netflix right
and
now.
And one thing,
the
Cap,
episodes.
The bad guys in Breaking Bad are just badass bad guys. I mean, it's like the villains are fantastic.
Yeah, it just occurred to me, one of the other things that happened in this one episode that I happened to see was, what was the old guy's name? He was in the hospital. He couldn't
Mike.
Talk. Yeah, and the
no. He's talking about
Hector Salamanca.
Hector Salamanca with the bell.
With the bell. He's got the bell.
Right. And so Walter walks into his room and he says, "I'm offering you a chance at revenge." That's the only line I remember from the show. I mean, again, I saw all 5
again,
minutes.
Here's a great summary of one episode of Breaking Bad that you may have seen 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah, no, it's one description of one scene in Breaking Bad that you may have seen a long time ago.
That you saw a long time ago.
Yeah. My girlfriend made me turn it off. She's like, "Would you turn that off?" I'm like, "Why?" She goes, "I have no idea what show it is. I have no idea what's going on, and it's just in the background, and it's annoying." And I had to turn it off at that point.
Cap, are you with us that Clayton Kershaw should start the All-Star game?
So I don't have a problem if Clayton Kershaw does start the All-Star game. It makes all the sense in the world from a story standpoint. You know, I mean, it's a symbolic kind of a start for the guy. I mean, it is in Dodger Stadium.
Ceremonial, yeah.
Exactly. But I really honestly think that Tony Gonsolin has earned it. And I think that Clayton Kershaw, I mean, I'm saying this year, Gonsolin has earned it this year. If you decide to do the ceremonial thing with Kershaw, no issue here for me. I would have a problem if they start the kid from Miami.
Yeah, they can't start Sandy Alcantara on this particular situation. It's either Gonsolin or Kershaw, and I'm almost certain it's Kershaw at this point. When he made the team, I assumed, he's starting the game. First All-Star game in 42 years at Dodger Stadium. Probably the greatest Dodger of the last 42 years is Clayton Kershaw, so he is appropriate to start this game. There's a ceremonial aspect to it. He's had a totally reasonably good year. I think he's like 5-2 with a 2.86 ERA, something like that. He's started 9 times or 10 times. I get why he's there. He's not having his best season, but it's a unique opportunity to showcase somebody who is a lifetime Dodger at Dodger Stadium in the All-Star game.
Right, and generally speaking, when the All-Star game comes to your town, a player from your team generally gets a little extra consideration. Like, for example, let's say a guy doesn't really, really belong in the Home Run Derby, but it happens to be in his stadium.
Right.
Then they put him in the Home Run Derby. They give him that opportunity. Kershaw is big enough and has meant enough to the Dodgers to have this honor this upcoming, well, I guess it's Tuesday. Is it Monday or Tuesday?
Week from tomorrow.
Right.
All right, more importantly, Cap, if you've been dating someone for 6 months, is it okay to break up with her electronically, or do you have to do it in person?
I would say in today's day and age, you can probably do it electronically.
And Mace, you're okay with that?
I'm 100% electronically.
Bergman, you're the one who says you have to do it in person, right?
Yes, you absolutely
have. I do not want 100%. A toe-to-toe breakup. Just drop me a text.
You're soft.
Sorry, it's not working out. I'm moving on, and hail fellow, well met, and see you later.
Well, who's breaking up with who?
Nobody's breaking up with anybody.
Come
at this
on.
Point. I got done. No, nobody's breaking up here. I think
I'm trying to figure out why we brought it up.
Coupled. Why did we bring it up? Because Phil Collins faxed wife a divorce.
Yeah, Phil Collins broke up with his wife over a fax.
Wow.
He sent her a fax, which I thought was just ridiculous.
I actually think text is more personal than fax. So
who's got a fax machine?
I mentioned this. Clinton Yates just walked in. Clinton, I mentioned this. There's a whole Sex and the City episode where Ron Livingston breaks up with Sarah Jessica Parker by a Post-it note. He gets up in the morning, writes on a Post-it note, "It's just not working for me. Right. I'm sorry. That's it." And she went ballistic.
So,
do you have to do it face-to-face, Clinton Yates?
How about 4 days ago, there was a text situation in which I broke up with somebody?
How long did you date said person?
Here's what happens. Okay. There was a situation in which we were supposed to meet up. Mm-hmm. We knew that things were on the rocks, and I was asked, "Are you sure you want to continue this still?" And I said, or no, I was asked, "It sounds to me like you don't want to continue this still." And I replied, "Correct." So, like,
was that the end? Was there any?
So I answered. I mean, there was more talk about some logistics, but like, that was that. I mean, I planned on having this conversation in person, but I didn't get to it. I wasn't going to lie.
How do you feel about it now, the way it ended now?
Don't love that. Probably not going to see that person ever again physically, but I mean, I wasn't going to lie. You know what I mean? Like, because I feel that that's just as misleading. And I think these days it's kind of like, sure, it's nicer if that person is amenable to meeting up with you. But if some people are not like that,
I totally agree.
Some people don't like that.
Jorge, yeah. Hit the stager, and then I got another question similar to this for you guys. Go ahead.
ESPN AM 710 Los Angeles,
KRDC AM 1110 Pasadena, Los Angeles,
K25 CX 99.1 FM Pasadena, Los Angeles.
It's the greatest segment in LA sports radio history. Radio history.
Oh my God.
When the shows come together for magic on the radio.
It Bologna grows stronger. Super Crosstalk.
Are we ready for Sedano and Cap to join Mason in Ireland?
Super Crosstalk begins.
Super Crosstalk. Presented by Coors Light. Coors Light. Made to chill.
It's time for Super Crosstalk.
And Sedano is not here. It's the big CY along with Cappy. So we were just talking about texting and breaking up and stuff
and
like that.
Strangely, Clinton just went through something like this.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But okay, now I made this statement, Cap and Clinton, that if you're going to fire me, like if the powers that be decide here that they're going to fire me,
okay,
I do not want them, even though I've been here forever, I do not want them to make me come in here so they can do it face-to-face. If it's the end, I just want them to say, they can call me, they can do whatever you want. They can say, hey, we've decided to go in another direction. And I would say, fine, thanks for letting me know. That's it. Anything wrong with firing someone electronically?
This is tough because
this is kind of an HR thing.
Right. Radio is so different because, like, these days, guys don't get farewell shows.
Nope.
People don't get any kind of grace out of the door. Radio has never been good about firing people. So that's a different thing. I do think, though, it depends on how long you've been there. If it's somebody I know, yeah, I want to see that person and be like, hey, maybe we're not going to be friends, but maybe we are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And if that's the case in a work scenario, that's different than a relationship scenario. But if it's like, come in, do 4 hours of radio, by the way, never come back.
Yeah.
That's not cool. That's bad
Cap,
karma.
What do you think? Do you owe it to someone? If you're going to fire somebody, does it matter how you do it?
So if I'm on the receiving end of being fired, as you've described, John, I actually want to be called in. And I want them to look at me face to face because firing somebody is one of the hardest things to do.
Yeah.
So if you're going to fire me, at least give me the pleasure of watching you squirm.
That's true.
There's something to that. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I've left jobs where it wasn't a firing, but it was a, we don't have any intention on doing anything more with you. So read the writing on the wall. And I got a little bit of a satisfaction out of seeing that person try to, you know, hem and haw about what they were going to do and how they were going to do this and what went wrong and this, that, a third. And it was like, oh, all right, I've learned something about you. That's a good point, Kat.
So I once had to fire 12 to 15 people.
Really?
Yeah. So what happened, I was doing a morning drive in Toledo, and we were a top 40 station. And one morning I get up and I come to work. And they're playing the Kingsman, Louie Louie.
Which wasn't part of your format.
No, we were a top 40 station. And then it plays again. And then it plays again.
Oh,
and then I realized this is a stunt and they're changing the format. So they called me in and said, here's a stack of checks. Your job is to give everybody their last check.
Wow.
Because they were changing
format.
Were
you among
format.
The people getting fired? Or
no,
part of the
they were
change?
Keeping me to do morning drive. So I had to dismiss like something like 12, 13, 14. It was a brutal feeling.
So you weren't technically doing the firing.
No,
you were the hatchet man.
I was made to do that. I was, what do they call that? The guy in the Turk.
Okay.
I was like the Turk.
Right.
I was taking people out. It was terrible, terrible. They put me in a position at one point where I had to fire my brother who was working with us.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, radio, yeah. How'd that go?
Radio is brutal, brutal, brutal.
That's wild.
It's an interesting twist. Now, did you guys see this story over the weekend that there was a Lakers summer league game and LeBron was on one side of the gym? And Russell Westbrook was on the other side of the gym.
Yes.
And people are making a very big deal out of the fact that they didn't publicly acknowledge each other.
And if you tune in to Sedano and Cap at about 4:10, we'll tell you all about it.
Thank you. But here's my question.
By the way, that's the stupidest rule I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's, we're talking about the stories of the day.
We're talking about the stories
of the
day.
By the way, this is your show right now. It's 401.
Well, right. But if we exhaust all of our topics in the first segment of Crosstalk, then what are we going to talk about the rest of the show?
We're not going to exhaust
right,
the topics.
But
how can you exhaust topics? These are talk show hosts.
Listen,
this is what they do.
Lindsay,
this
we're happy to go.
This is a dumb
listen. I just think that we could spend Crosstalk talking about a lot more fun stuff. That's
what
all.
Do you want to talk about?
I think right, we can talk about the softball game because this is the first time I've been in studio with you guys. I'm on your team, Mace. How do you feel about that?
I feel great about it. I am incredibly enthusiastic about you being my everyday second baseman.
Oh, did you try and trade me yet?
I did, and there were no takers.
The price was too high.
Yeah, I tried to juggle rosters a little bit, but I've got
As I recall, your move was you wanted to trade Lindsay Baseball for Kirk Morrison and Clinton Yates.
Yes.
And or, I believe.
And or.
Yeah.
It was either Keith or Clinton. Kirk. Clinton.
Yeah, so, no. Neither of those made sense.
No. No, so Lindsay, I'm totally happy with you on the team.
For the record,
yeah.
I think, and I could be completely wrong, and I'll eat it if I am, but I feel like the rosters are very imbalanced because I feel like Team Mason has just like it has the ringers on it. You got Ramona, you got Travis, you got me. Like, I just feel like there's like a lot to be said about.
So
your
you
team.
Know, Ramona is going to be very limited in what she can do.
Even if she's a DH,
she's not going to bat. She's going.
Oh, okay.
We think she can pitch, but she can't hit.
Wait. Hold on, though, Lindsay. You're saying that you think Team Mace is a stacked club, right?
I do, and again, I could be wrong, but just this is, you know, on paper, because like I said, I have no idea what we're going to get out of me because I haven't played softball in so long.
So that's a minus.
But I did play softball like in high school, you know, like I almost considered pursuing it collegiately, so it's not like I'm no slouch.
Did you think about pursuing it collegially?
Yeah.
Oh,
that
wow.
And soccer. But, you know, I just, you know.
So wait, but I just want to say something, though. But you see, Lindsay,
everybody
out,
else, by the way, thinks that Cappy's team
right,
is stacked.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Is that everybody thinks that...
Oh, Beto, too. Beto's a ringer.
Beto's the best player on your team.
Beto's really good.
Let's be clear
about
that.
Wait, what about Travis? Didn't Travis play like college baseball?
Beto is the best player for the purposes of this function on your team. Trust me about that.
I mean, I agree. He's like, I mean, he still plays like beer league softball, right?
Yeah.
And he probably takes it super seriously. He's like super competitive guy.
Can I say this? I think there's also a misconception about like what competitive and taking it seriously means. Taking it seriously means it's not that hard to be good because you know how to play. You know what I'm saying? That's what that means. And I think we're being competitive because it's going to be fun. Like, I'm not expecting anybody to go out there and cleat somebody.
Yeah.
Not even close to that. But the trash talk will be at a very high level. That's for sure.
So, Lindsay, I'm glad, though, that Lindsay thinks that Team Mason is the better team on paper because, Mace, didn't somebody tell us last week that they set the line and Team Cappy was like, I don't know, -350. I mean, we were like big favorites.
No, Ireland made you enormous favorites in this matchup.
Plus, he's got 40,000 mythical dollars on our team.
So, Lynch, here's the starting lineup
like
I'm working with.
Let's hear this lineup.
Okay. Leading off, playing center field, Taylor Smith. He says he's very, very
That's
fast.
That's smart. He'll get on base,
Batting second at DH, Brady Cates.
That also changes a lot of things.
No, it doesn't change much, but it gives you an extra body for somebody that
means Ramona can't hit.
Yeah. Okay, but Brady is also young and spry. Like he has more, you know, he has a lot of the youth. That's youth is on our side.
What do you think that Brady's been playing softball? I mean,
have you seen the kid? Like, first of all, he's pretty, I mean, he's very fit. He plays sports.
Some of us were at a sporting goods store
baseball
with
player.
Brady
and
a couple weeks ago. He knows his way around
the
diamond. He's a good pickup.
Batting third and at shortstop, Beto Duran.
Yes.
Batting cleanup at first base, Travis Rogers.
Smart.
Batting fifth at third base, DeMarco Farr.
Batting fifth at third base is DeMarco?
Yeah.
That's not bad. I don't hate that.
Batting sixth.
You sound like you're questioning that, Cap.
Well, I thought DeMarco was either catching or playing first base, but okay.
No.
Yeah. I need him in a position. Third base. He's going to see a lot of balls. Batting seventh, Michael Funchess in left field.
Liability.
Funch is another one where I think Funch is like very like he could be like underrated MVP. Like,
I'm hitting
you know?
The ball to Funches no. every time.
You don't think Funches? Wait, do you guys know something about Funches? I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel
well,
like
he told us last week that he can't even throw a ball.
Yeah, I mean, he said he can run.
Okay. I've been around this game my whole life. I can look at Funches and tell him I'm hitting the ball to you until a play's made. That's
really.
I mean, I'm only half joking, but like, yes, that will be on the scouting report.
I'm gonna start doing that where I'm just gonna be like, I've never played baseball before. Like, I don't even own a glove.
Batting seventh at second base, Lindsey Fulton.
There we go.
Wow, Lindsey, you must not be happy with that spot seven.
It's
really,
a good spot.
I'm fine with it.
It's like the Dodgers lineup.
Come on, but no.
Productive
but Lindsey,
out of that seven, eight, slot. Nine. Yeah.
Now you should want to be up higher in the batting order so that you can get more at bats.
I should, but I'm a team player, Cappy. So you
gotcha.
Know.
Batting eighth at catcher, Dr. Clapper.
How are you? That's what he says every time somebody comes to the plate. That's the idea.
Right. And batting ninth in right field, where I can do the least damage, me.
So wait. Taylor's playing center. There's only nine.
Funchess is playing left.
There's oh,
not. There's
Taylor's
not,
also
not
and Ramona's pitching.
Yeah, that's sneaky. That's a sneaky.
Oh no,
one.
We're not. We're only Taylor. Doing three. Outfielders.
We're only doing three outfielders. Yeah. I'll say this. I don't actually think that's the best idea. I think that if we find a way, like four outfielders, it just plain makes the game go faster. You know what I'm saying? Because like not everything's gonna get to the wall, and it's like once you can't three outfielders is a little tricky. But I think it'll be okay. I think we could consider a four outfield setup in a 10-person lineup. That's how most co-ed softball games are played.
Is that right?
Yes.
But isn't it an indoor park, if I'm mistaken?
Indoor?
No?
Absolutely.
Oh, I thought
not.
It was.
No, I don't think it is.
I don't know. I guess I thought it was called indoor. Like a sportsplex. Okay,
it is.
Well, then you're
just because it's outside.
I just associated sportsplex with an indoor thing.
No,
but,
no, no.
You know.
So, Lindsey, I did not realize you were a high-end high school athlete.
A plus,
no, no.
Plus
she
commodity.
Considered playing collegiately.
Well, let's say I played in high school my freshman year, softball. I played college soccer until junior year. I didn't want to play by the time I was a senior because I was over it. So I'm just saying, like, I cared deeply about it. I'm very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was pretty good, but I probably haven't. Like, occasionally for, like, every year we have our family reunion and I play in that softball game. But
will you go to a batting cage at all this week, Lindsey?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do go to batting cages, too, for fun. So
let me tell you something about my trash talk style, just so that you guys understand.
Okay.
Greg,
tell us about your style.
I don't talk to other players. I talk to my own team about the opponents at loud volume and ignore the other team.
Nice. That's the best way to
play. This is how I operate. It gets very annoying after inning one. You know what I'm saying? Where that's so. Just be ready for that. This is how
be
I
ready
this is,
for.
This is how I
trash
move.
Talking.
Yes,
that's how you
this
roll.
This is how I move. But okay. I won't be talking to you. I will be speaking of you
of me
to
them
other players on my team. Yes.
Kathy, so Clinton, do you have a lineup yet?
Clinton, you will be in the head of Team Mace.
Oh yeah, I mean this is a large part of what I even bring to the table.
Yeah.
Frankly, you know, what I'm saying?
Mental game.
Oh, the psychological battle has already clearly been lost.
So, Linz, my goal is for us to party the most.
Yes, that's a good goal, too.
Don't you think that's a good reach goal for us?
I think we should party and have fun because usually the people that are having the most fun are the people that are winning.
Yes, you know? Exactly. Correct.
Mace says he's stocking his dugout not with, like, bubble gum, but with gummies.
Yes, gummies.
That could backfire.
Everybody gummy up!
Yeah, that depends on, like, what that situation is. Yeah, that could definitely backfire, Mace.
Gummy up, Linz! Let's go!
It'll be like the fifth inning and everyone's just like,
One, two, three. Gummy up.
Gummy up!
Now, Bergie, you asked me, do I have my lineup say?
Yeah,
you have to understand something.
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
I'm a delegator, and I know what I have in Clinton Yates.
No,
I know that Clinton Yates.
So you're passing the buck.
Wow, look at you.
No, I offered to do this.
Oh, you
this.
Offered. All right, Absolutely. What do you got then? What do you have?
Well, wait, we're going to work on it as the week goes on. It's a workshopping sort
the,
of situation.
Yeah. I mean,
Mason
I think
Hughes went straight forward. He's like, this is my lineup. This is my team.
Lineup.
This is what I got.
Cap, where's your, you know.
I'll tell you, okay, I can just look at this and give you a pretty good idea right now.
Okay.
Mario's going to lead off.
Okay.
Bergman's going to bat second. I'll probably bat third.
Yeah.
Kirk's going to bat fourth.
I hear Kirk, by the way, can really
he
hit.
Can rake. Yeah. We'll go Sandoval fifth, Emily sixth, George seventh. I don't know where Cap wants to bat. That's the other thing. Like,
Cappy, where are you? The leadoff guy?
Bat
where
at the
are
top,
you?
Or do you want to stay towards the bottom so you stay fresh because you're going to be throwing so many pitches?
Yeah, I wonder if maybe I should just go toe to toe with Mace and just bat ninth.
I think
that's a good idea.
Might be something we do. So that sort of rounds it out. And Alan Sleeve was batting eighth, and Scott goes ninth. This is pretty easy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
no, I think the lineups.
Yeah,
yeah, they lay out just right.
I agree.
Cappy, how competitive are you going to be at this thing? Is it play to the death, or is it let's just have a good time?
It's let's just have a good time
while we're playing
winning
to the death.
By winning. You know, yeah, like, right. Like I would always say to my little league teams, guys, this is really fun, but it's even more fun when you win.
Right.
So I'm planning on having a really good time. I'm planning on putting on a real show for all the 710 fans
yeah
that come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would like to win, if I'm being honest.
Are you guys going to use the shift? We're going to use the shift.
No. There will
yeah
be no
we
shift.
We are definitely going to shift.
There will be no shift.
I was going to say, is the shift banned? Are we going to have a pitch clock? Are we going to have any weird rules?
I think once we get there and you see how the pace of the game works and I start yelling at you to keep it moving,
right.
No, I'm joking. It'll be fine. Like, that's the cool thing about these kind of facilities is that once you get out there and you see the vibe of the situation, everybody's there to have fun.
It should be like the Savannah Bananas type situation.
No.
We do like a bunch of crazy stuff.
Yes. Yes. I love that idea.
Yeah. I'm not here for
yes
that.
I'm here
that's
for
a good
that
idea.
I'll be there for it. This is what we're doing.
Bring
this
your,
is a
bring
raising
your
oh, let's do that. Let's do that thing where you
let the bat on fire.
No, do the thing where you put your
Dizzy bat.
No, that's
head
that's
on the bat, like you spin
yeah
around.
Spin around.
Yeah, that's funny.
What we're going to do is have a big stretching sesh before the game
yeah
with both teams
yeah
so nobody pulls up lame.
Definitely should.
Wait, so Clint, you're gonna stretch Team Mace in addition to Team Cappy?
No, I think that's going to be Beto and I are going to do a little pregame double team stretch sesh
mm-hmm
at the same time where we'll be leading the stretches, doing them together. We came up with this plan when we were at the Dodgers game last Friday.
Hey, I will Clint, be at that sesh.
Yes.
I have a question, though. What if, let's just say that the starting pitcher requires to be relieved. Have you thought about who's the next pitcher in and who
yes
should go to what positions?
Yes. I think at that point, I honestly think Mario, I think, is going to be our relief guy. I don't know why. I just feel like he's got a way to find the zone. But we'll be fine. We can also determine this on game day. We'll have some pre-trial.
Ramona's going to start for us, but I think Lindsay would be our first arm out of the pen.
I mean, I'm fine with that, but I do want to say, I feel like, I'm talking with Greg back here, I feel like our lack of reserves is a little concerning to me.
Yeah.
And I think we need to do something. Like, I got to reach out to, like, Matthew
you
Berry
think we
or
need
somebody
to identify some bench players
yeah
that could potentially be eligible.
Yeah, we need
yeah
some depth.
If for no other reason than just injuries, you know,
right,
potentially becoming a thing. That's not a bad idea. Maybe you have a little supplemental draft, if you will. Greg, how could we organize that?
That's
well,
a
we
very
tried
good idea.
Did yeah O'Shea ever get back to you?
O'Shea did not get back to me.
Yeah,
but no, but that's a good idea. Clinton is on to it.
Softball, not as
Clinton is on to something big here. You know what we should do, guys?
Mm.
We should put together a group of names.
Yep.
And we should have a supplemental draft before
yeah, like
Friday.
Matthew Berry, like some of our like recurring guests, like people that the station
we've
is familiar with. You know,
figure out availabilities, right, figure out who can play. And
Plaschke,
see if
your best
available
friend, Mace.
Plaschke,
hey,
I love Bill.
Hey, Ireland, can we get Michael Thompson to come?
Yeah, great guess.
Yes, absolutely.
I think a supplemental draft is in order.
Yeah, I think I'm.
And it might
it
happen on the day, by the way. Like if we're
grab
there,
some people.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
You know what
yeah
I'm saying? Like
exactly.
That could be part of it.
All right, we are back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And coming up next for you is my favorite afternoon show, Shedano and Cappy with the big CY in for George. See you tomorrow, 710 ESPN.